Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Lee McAdam. She's a two-time author, including Discover Canada 100 Inspiring Outdoor Adventures. Lee, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me, Christopher.
So, two things that you talk about. One is Canada. I love Canada because I have 13 cousins. And so every time I meet a Canada, I want to hug them. So thank you for talking about that. And then also travel. St. Augustine once said that life is like a book and those that don't travel read only one page. And for me as a speaker, literally traveling the world, it always gives me a great smile on my face because it does affect me as a person. So I'm curious, when did you realize that traveling for you was something that you would want to do, be a part of, and talk about, frankly, write books about it?
You know, I've had a travel bug quite literally since I was a kid. Since I was 8 years old, I've had itchy feet. I mean, I can completely remember that. But as far as delving into the world of travel blogging, that came about 11 years ago. And we had a company, actually one in the United States, and we still have a Canadian one, and we sell equipment for sampling groundwater. And quite frankly, groundwater really isn't my passion. It was a paycheck. And we sold the U.S. company, and then it's like, okay, now what do I do with myself? And so because of my passion for travel, which sounds very simple, but it's a true honest to goodness, I'm happy to travel every day of the year practically. I decided that I'd start a blog knowing absolutely nothing and not appreciating whether I would make money or not with it, but I'd just follow and see where it took me. And so here we are 11 years later, and it's taken me around the world basically.
And talk to us about, so how many blogs have you released over the last 10 plus years?
I've released probably 1,600 and erased about 600.
Wow.
So those early ones I wasn't so proud of. And also Google keeps changing algorithms and they're looking to answer questions. And so, you really have to, Google is king or God. And you really have to figure out how to work with them so that you get an audience. Otherwise, you're just going to be out there, but not really, people aren't going to find you.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because that's a lot of blogs, a lot of 1,000 people. So let's say this podcast, I've given over 1,000 interviews and some of them really stand out, whether it's a guy in the UK who was in and out of prison systems for 30 plus years. And then he talked about how in the early 90s is a 15-year-old young man who goes into prison and he commits suicide. And the inmates were so angry to themselves, frankly, in the system that ended up creating the support system specifically for prisoners to help them prevent them from literally committing suicide. So that really stuck out. So for you, what are some blogs that you feel stuck out and got a good response from your readers?
Unfortunately, the ones that get the most traffic tend to be all of those like top 10, the best of, because that's what people Google. But what people respond to is also adventure. And so I wish I did more storytelling, but because it's a business, storytelling doesn't actually work very well with Google algorithms per se. I mean, some people probably manage to work it. Having said that, I have a post on backcountry lodges in Canada. And I think there's something about that kind of experience, which is off the grid. Often you have to get to it by hiking, skiing, snowshoeing, occasionally by helicopter, but it really takes you out of your normal world. And I think that speaks to the inner traveler and the inner adventurer of a lot of people out there that would like to contemplate these things, but never get too far with it.
Yeah. And since this podcast is more of a business podcast for executives and entrepreneurs, I love what travel does for me, but what do you think are some things that, since you traveled so much, what are some things that you feel it's allowed you to think better, be better? Like, what are some actual like specific skills or mindset that you feel that travel allows you to do, so you can share that with our guests?
I think travel, I mean, it is a business, which I don't think people get. And one question I'm always asked is, how do I make money as a traveler? And I think that's an important one. So I wrote a couple of books because I've traveled enough to actually have an opinion and have experienced huge swaths of both Canada and the universe, really, or not the universe, but the globe. Universe is pushing it a little bit much. That might be Richard Bronson's world, but not mine. But you know, I've learned social media tricks, so you get paid for social media. I have learned to be a much better writer than when I started, and a photographer. And having said that, like one of the things that I have done this year is sold one of my photos that will be a stamp and released in January in Canada. So, you know, there are so many things that I have had to up my game on.
Well, let me be more specific. So okay. That's what you learn, which is great, but I want our listeners to learn from you. So again, when I travel and I'm on a plane, it's a Zen moment for me, which allows me to be really clear. I write out my goals. No one's distracting me. So for me, when I travel, specifically when I'm on a plane, I have a deep sense of clarity. So, and then when I, let's say I'm flying to Saudi Arabia for the first time last year, and I'm like, whoa, this is going to be interesting. How is the audience going to respond to my speech, right? So I'm learning to speak more with people from the Middle East, or I'm learning clarity from being on a plane. So for you, yes, you've learned a lot, but I want our listeners to learn from you in terms of like, has it allowed you to be more courageous? Has it allowed you to be more curious? Like, what are the actual skills, qualities that you feel you've developed because you travel?
You know, I'm not more curious. I'm always curious. And really that I think is a sign of a good traveler. So when I get on a plane, I get excited. Like truly, you know, I get the blood is flowing and I'm thrilled to be going off to the next destination. So a good example of that is I went to Hokkaido, Japan a couple of years ago as part of a press trip. And so I don't know how to speak a word of Japanese. I don't know how to read a single Japanese symbol. And so there was a little bit of angst because I was going off by myself and not meeting anyone till the next day, which is, you know, that's fine. But, you know, it's like, how do I even navigate the Tokyo airport? And so I think traveling builds confidence in you to get through the worst and the best of situations. But it teaches you how to, you know, deal with people and cross that bridge when you don't speak the language and ask for help and get help and have shared experiences. I think that's been a huge one with travel. And I think, you know, because I've been to many a poorer country, I think it also gives you a sense of empathy that you might not get at home. And I always say that you should put all these complaining people in a first world country on a plane to a developing country. And, you know, and I come back and I always appreciate so much what I have. And all the resources that I have, you know, that I don't even think about that I have.
That's exactly what I was asking for, Lee. I mean, literally, in the Stoicism world, I read a lot about Stoicism. And one of the things they suggest is to be deliberate, to seek deliberate discomfort. So
yes.
It's one thing to be grateful, quote unquote, where it's like, okay, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for the weather. But I want to actually be discomfort. I want to actually be deliberate. So I actually watch videos of, let's say I recently watched a video on poor Cambodian kids who every day they go through trash. And
yeah,
I don't want to frankly watch it because it's a deliberate discomfort, but it reminds me why I should be grateful. So for you, on that point of going to these impoverished countries, because I really, again, in the Western world especially, we have zero reason to complain. I mean, anytime I talk to people, they're like annoyed that their internet's not working. Who cares? It's like, you have a life. So I'm curious, are there any stories that you can share with us when you were in an impoverished country and you had a certain experience that you can share with us to just really be grateful?
You know, a few years ago, like about a decade ago, I cycled through Africa from Malawi to Victoria Falls. So it was a distance of about 2,500 kilometers. And I was with a group. So it wasn't as though, you know, I'm trying to figure this out on my own. But I do remember getting sick, and my daughter was on this trip with me, and we got off in Lilongwe, which is the capital of Malawi. And, you know, we hopped on the local bus, which was actually quite hilarious because, you know, it's one of those little camper van type things that held about 40 people. And I think it was just, you know, we were treated as one of them. We weren't treated as a white person under special circumstances. And, you know, you just felt I felt like I was part of Africa. Like, I don't know if you've been to Africa, but you know, the people are very gentle that I've run into, and there's something about, oh, it's hard to describe, but it's just, they made me feel like I was part of, you know, I wasn't doing anything special. This was just, you know, part of the day to day. So that's one of the examples I can come up with.
Yeah. Now that's perfectly, like I said, so much of us want to have a sense of belonging, and I have not been to Africa yet, but those that, when I ask people that are actually from Africa, they say that in America, it's about success and individualism and independence and freedom. But in Africa, it's about family and culture and history. Not to say that Americans or Canadians are not, I'm just saying that's what they would tell me, and exactly what you're saying in terms of this belonging and acceptance of who you are, irrespective of, go ahead.
I do have an example I'd like to share, actually. I'm just thinking about this fellow. So we were in Morocco, and we had hired a driver and a guide for a couple of weeks, actually, to take us around the country. And he was a nomad from the Sahara who had learned like 6 or 7 languages in very short order. He was a very impressive individual. And, you know, when he just to be a part of somebody's world. So he had a girlfriend when he was in Marrakesh that his family didn't know about, or certainly his mother didn't know about. And so we were in a town one day, and we had a couple of days off from him, and then we met up with him again. And he was in a foul mood. He was just a very unhappy man because his mother wanted him home for the arranged marriage. And, you know, and like, what a struggle to witness this person who is caught between the first world and the, you know, just growing up in the Sahara and what is expected. And if he doesn't follow through, he is like persona non grata in the family. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's not very many of us that have to deal with that here in North America. And that really struck a chord.
No, that's a great story, Lee, because, I mean, frankly speaking, people deal with it all the time, meaning their mom and dad might want you to go to college and want to be a doctor, a social worker, whatever it might be. But that's a perfect story to end with, in that traveling really is a way for you to expand your horizons, to be curious, to meet people that you might not have met, but really to be grateful for our life. Because without that, it's just boring. Every day blends into another day. But when you travel, it really is an adventure. So Lee, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. And how can our guests connect and stay in touch with you?
The best way is to visit my website, which is hikebiketravel.com, and they can contact me through there. And I'm usually pretty good about answering within a day.
Great. Lee, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. You too.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.